Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the area or you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. This is off of Highway 105 South, just outside of the Boone City limits. So you're not far, I guess, from the big intersection at Wendy's. I could probably be at the church in 5 or 8 minutes, depending on the traffic. So we're not far out of town. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have college classes, opportunity, college ministry there. If you're new to the area, we would be happy for you to come out and visit at Mount Lebanon. And it's good to be here today. Noah's here, and I appreciate him. He does a great deal to help me in the radio ministry. Noah, how's things today?
Going well. I'm glad to be here this morning. It's good to have the opportunity to sit back in here with you. And we do want to say welcome to all the listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those on 89.1 FM KPGT, The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota. We do appreciate those radio stations and the listeners in those areas.
We sure do. And we are in the month of September. And the month of September, there is a very important holiday that is observed, although it's not widely observed. And I have noticed over the past few years that most calendars do not even put the date on the calendar. But what I'm talking about is Constitution Day. Constitution Day this month of September is going to fall on Wednesday, September the 17th. And the 17th of September is when Constitution Day is always observed, because the United States Constitution was ratified on the 17th of September, 1787. So this month is Constitution Day. Well, what are you going to do? What do you have planned? I doubt anybody has the day off or has much of anything planned, but it is a very important observation in our nation. And our current study here on the radio broadcast, we have been looking at heroes of liberty. And we've looked at three so far. Today, in honor of this month, being the month that the Constitution was ratified and Constitution Day, we're going to look at James Madison. That's who we're going to be studying about today, talking about heroes of liberty. And I am enjoying looking at the different individuals and just taking one radio broadcast and dealing with one person and their contribution along the lines of the subject of liberty. Well, if anybody could be considered a hero of liberty, I believe James Madison could. Now, of all the founding fathers, he probably does not get the recognition that he should. We think about Benjamin Franklin, we think about Thomas Jefferson, but James Madison, I'm going to give a Bible verse that I believe would characterize the life and contribution of James Madison. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 5 says this, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." A man of knowledge increaseth strength. And James Madison is a individual that left the country better off than he did before he started. Now, how many times could we say that today about those that are in elected positions, that when they leave their term of office, they leave things stronger, better off than before they came? I'd say that list would be pretty short. And we're talking about from the president right on down, no matter who you are for, a Democrat or a Republican, just not a lot of success rate. Well, a wise man, the Bible says, is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Now, James Madison was elected in 1808 as America's fourth president. He served two terms. He did serve during the War of 1812, and it was during his term of office that he and his wife Dolly had to flee Washington. The White House was burnt to the ground, and you know, that probably is one reason why you don't hear as much about James Madison and really about the War of 1812. You say, well, what's so great about that? Well, we won, even though Britain attacked us again shortly after we'd won the War of Independence, and still we come out victorious in that war as well. But that's a war that you do not think about very much or hear about very often. But James Madison was the president during that time. Before that, before he became president of the United States, the fourth president of the United States, he served as Secretary of State under the administration of Thomas Jefferson. And James Madison and a gentleman named Robert Livingston, they are responsible for orchestrating what is known as the Louisiana Purchase of 1803. Now, the Louisiana Purchase, I'm sure you remember studying that when you went to school, elementary school. And if you remember, and I certainly did not remember, I knew what it was, but I did not remember many of the details, but I was studying, reading about this. The Louisiana Purchase is where the United States government paid Napoleon $15 million for over 800,000 square miles and encompassing the area basically west of the Mississippi. It basically doubled the size of the United States. So they paid Napoleon $15 million. Now, that works out to be about 3 cents an acre. Boy, you talk about a good investment. That was a good investment. And so he is responsible for orchestrating that and bringing that to pass. And like we said in our verse, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. We see that he was involved in some good things, politically speaking. But what James Madison is most famous for is that he is known as the father of the Constitution. So, of course, we would look at him when we're thinking about Constitution Day. James Madison is considered to be the father of the United States Constitution. Also, James Madison was the original author of the Bill of Rights. So two of our nation's greatest documents were authored by James Madison. Of course, the Declaration of Independence is contributed to Thomas Jefferson, that he's the one that actually penned it down, but James Madison wrote the other two, the United States Constitution and then the Bill of Rights. And once he was appointed to Congress, he became the chief promoter in making sure that there was a Bill of Rights that was actually passed. Now, those of you that listen into the radio broadcast regularly, you probably remember that first the Constitution was ratified, and then the Bill of Rights came later. The Constitution was ratified upon a promise that a Bill of Rights would soon follow. These did not happen at the same time, but first the Constitution was ratified, and then the Bill of Rights was worked out, and then later on it was passed. But the Constitution came first. Now, one thing about James Madison that I really have come to appreciate is how he kept his word. Now, he was trained a lawyer at Princeton University under the Reverend John Witherspoon. And John Witherspoon, although being a Protestant, he's very orthodox in the faith and a great leader at that time. Well, James Madison was trained under him. And James Madison kept his word about the Bill of Rights. Now, at first, James Madison was on the side of the Federalist. He was for the federal government, the passing of the United States Constitution. But he made the argument that a Bill of Rights was just a piece of paper and that it wouldn't do any good, that if a government decided that they wanted to infringe upon the rights of the people, that they would just do it, and that a Bill of Rights would not keep them from doing that. But later, James Madison changed his mind concerning the Bill of Rights, and instead of saying it wouldn't do any good, he came to the position, which nowadays when a politician does something like that, we call it he did a flip-flop. Well, James Madison did a flip-flop. He came to see how important it was to have a Bill of Rights. And he had promised two Baptist pastors specifically that he would promote and make sure that a Bill of Rights was passed. One of them was named George Eve, and the other Baptist pastor, John Leland. Now, historians say that John Leland was probably the most well-known pastor to ever come out of the state of Virginia. And John Leland had a great amount of influence among the Baptist people. And James Madison said, promised both those pastors, he said, if you send me to Congress, I promise that we will have a Bill of Rights, because they were concerned about that. And it really strikes me as honorable that James Madison, after he got what he wanted in the Constitution, he became the chief promoter of a Bill of Rights. So he kept his word just to find somebody that'll keep their word. What a blessing and inspiration that is. Well, he did that. He was called, even in his own day, he was called the father of the Constitution, even in his own time. But this is what he said about being called the father of the Constitution. He did not take credit for all of that unto himself. He said this about the Constitution. He said it ought to be regarded as the work of many heads and many hands. Now, he's the one that actually penned out the words, but we know that a great many heads and hands went into the creation of the United States Constitution. Of course, James Madison was there at the Constitutional Convention. And here's something else maybe that you don't know about James Madison. They were not expecting to be there for 4 months in Philadelphia. They were expecting to go up there, work on the Articles of Confederation, get a few things hammered out, and then be dismissed from their duties. But it turned into something that lasted for 4 months. And James Madison ended up being there on borrowed money. How many politicians do you think today would stay in Washington or Raleigh or somewhere else on their own dime because the work was that important and it needed to be done? What we hear about in the news today is that there's work needs to be done, but oh, it's time for summer vacation, and they leave and they go home. But our founding fathers, they stayed throughout the summer. James Madison, on borrowed money, stayed and worked at the Constitutional Convention. It says something about the character of our founding fathers, that they were willing to sacrifice and stay and get the job done. Remember, we're talking about heroes of liberty. Now, when James Madison later wrote about the happenings at the Constitutional Convention, he credited the Almighty to the outcome. He gave credit to the Lord for what had been done. Listen what he said about it. He said, "The real wonder is that so many difficulties should have been surmounted." And if you think about or know anything about the history of our country and them coming together and they're a new country, they have all kinds of varied interests, the North and the South, the big states and the little states. It was a miracle that they could come to any agreement on anything. But he said, with a unanimity almost as unprecedented as it must have been unexpected, he said, "It is impossible for any man of candor to reflect on this circumstance without partaking of the astonishment. It is impossible for the man of pious reflection not to perceive in it a finger of that almighty hand which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stages of the revolution." He gave honor to the Lord when he looked back on the Constitution, he said, it's astonishing that this was done. It's amazing. People were amazed. And he gave credit to the hand of the Lord for blessing and helping them during that critical time. And so we recognize James Madison and his contribution at the Constitutional Convention, his hard work there. But before that, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson ensured that their home state of Virginia would have in their Declaration of Independence an article concerning religious freedom or individual soul liberty, as that's what they called it. And we're sort of thinking back on the life of James Madison before the Constitutional Convention. Now, Virginia's Declaration of Independence took place on June 12, 1776. So this is a month before the nation's Declaration of Independence. So you keep this in mind. James Madison and Thomas Jefferson are working together in Virginia. They know each other. They work together. Thomas Jefferson at that time, he's working on the Declaration of Independence for the country. But each individual state also made a Declaration of Independence. North Carolina has a Declaration of Independence. If you look at our flag, there's two dates on there. One of those is our Declaration of Independence, and the states declared before July 4th, 1776. So this is all interesting. If you think back and look at the history of that time, we see all these things working together simultaneously. But James Madison worked on the 16th article in the Declaration of Independence for Virginia. And they wanted to make sure that there was a provision in there for religious freedom. And this is what the 16th article in Virginia's Declaration of Independence says. It says that religion are the duty which we owe to our Creator. And our founding forefathers believed that we did have a Creator. No such thing as evolution or we're just here by chance. They believed in a Creator. They believed in the hand of God working in their midst. And so he's talking about that duty which we owe to our Creator, and the manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. And therefore, that all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience, and that it is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity toward each other. Can you imagine if that was talked about very much today in our society, wants so strongly to erase the name of God or Christ from every courthouse, every law, everywhere. But once upon a time, they gave credit where credit was due. And they talked here about it is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance. And that's in the Declaration of Independence for Virginia, that it's everybody's duty to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity toward each other. Well, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were responsible for putting that provision into Virginia's Declaration of Independence. You see, at that time, they saw firsthand the pitfalls of a state church. In Virginia, at that time, there was a state church. It was the Church of England, or as it's known in America, the Episcopal Church. And so that's what they had in Virginia, and there was persecution. Now, the interesting thing about Virginia, and really when you study about religious liberty or freedom of religion in America, you have to look at Virginia and the events that went on there, because in Virginia, two things were happening at the same time. One thing was a great revival. There was a revival actually swept our whole country called the Great Awakening. but it lingered on in Virginia, and it covered the whole state. And what you found in Virginia, that there was such a powerful revival that literally the majority of the population came to Christ through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned from a dead religion to the Bible. They began to read and study the scriptures. This is what the preachers were preaching. It's not what the church says. It's not what some man says. It's what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. And they literally went all throughout the wilderness of Virginia preaching this gospel message and this message of liberty and turning to the Lord and turning to the Word of God. Well, as they did that, the population became more and more Baptist. Well, at the same time, the Baptist people were being persecuted by the state church. They were being persecuted because they wouldn't pay the religious taxes. They were preaching without a license. They were meeting together when they were forbidden to do that. I mean, there was all kinds of ways that the state church was persecuting these Baptist people, but especially their preachers. Now, this is from a personal letter that James Madison wrote to a friend, William Bradford Jr. He wrote this letter January 24, 1774, and William Bradford was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And James Madison was writing from his home state of Virginia. Listen what he said about the persecution of Christians that was taking place in his home state. He said this. Now, he's writing from Virginia. He's writing to a gentleman that's in Pennsylvania. He says, "I want again to breathe your free air. I expect it will mend my constitution and confirm my principles." He wanted to go to Philadelphia where they had freedom of religion. He said, "I have at home as good an atmosphere as the climate will allow." Now there he's making a reference to the weather. He said, "but have nothing to brag of as to the state and liberty of my country." He couldn't brag upon Virginia as to the liberty that they allowed. He said, "poverty and luxury prevail among all sorts, pride, ignorance, and knavery among the priesthood." He's talking there about the Church of England, the priests in the Church of England that were in Virginia. He said, "and vice and wickedness among the laity." He said, "this is bad enough, but it is not the worst. I have to tell you that diabolical, hell-conceived principle rages among some, and to their eternal infamy, the clergy can furnish their quota of imps for such purposes." He said, "there are at present in the adjacent county not less than 5 or 6 well-meaning men in close jail for publishing their religious sentiments, which in the main are very orthodox." Now, what James Madison was talking about, the adjacent county. Now, he was from Orange County, Virginia, but in the neighboring county, there were Baptist preachers that were in prison for preaching the gospel. James Madison knew about it. He's seen firsthand religious persecution. He's seen firsthand the danger of a state church. And so you've got James Madison, you've got Patrick Henry as well, that knew what was going on in the state of Virginia. Well, James Madison goes on in this letter and he says, "I have neither patience to hear, talk, or think of anything relative to this matter, for I have squabbled and scolded, abused and ridiculed so long about it to little purpose that I am without common patience. So I must beg you to pity me and pray for liberty of conscience to all." Now, what James Madison was talking about when he said, "I have squabbled and scolded, abused and ridiculed so long about it to little purpose that I am without common patience," he was talking about the fact that he didn't just gripe about what was going on. He tried to do something about what was going on. Now, he was trained a lawyer, and he used his talents many, many times to defend the Baptists that were being put in prison and fined and their land confiscated for doing nothing more than preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a an encyclopedia, Johnson's New Universal Encyclopedia. It's old, but it talks about his home county of Orange County, Virginia, and it says this about James Madison. It says, repeatedly appearing in the court of his own county to defend the Baptist nonconformists. Now, James Madison was not a Baptist, but he used his time and his talents to defend those that were being persecuted. And so we gain some insight into the character of James Madison. Why was it so important to have a First Amendment in the Bill of Rights? James Madison seen firsthand what he called the diabolical, ill-conceived practice of religious persecution. He seen it firsthand. So he realized how important, and he said to his friend William Bradford, he said, "So I must beg you to pity me and pray for liberty of conscience to all." So what a blessing that is. As I study the life of James Madison, there's several things we could say about him. He was a man of principle, not political convenience. He could have said, you know what, forget about the Bill of Rights. We got the Constitution. We're just going to do the best we can, because he worked very hard on the Bill of Rights. Now, there's something interesting. There's an interesting little story about the Bill of Rights. At first, the Bill of Rights, there was over 100 that was presented. And it went to committee, and they whittled it down. They come down to 12 original Bill of Rights. Well, they looked it at. The first two, one had to do with giving Congress a raise. Well, that actually happened in 1992, but it was in the original Bill of Rights. And the other one, it was something that just slips my mind, but they did away with the first two. So the first one ended up being Congress shall make no law respecting religion. That's the first in the Bill of Rights. And so James Madison, he was a man of principle. He was a man of foresight. He constantly wrote about and preached about and talked about how that the people needed to preserve their liberties. They needed to take an active part in what was going on. He could see down the road concerning the future of our nation. James Madison was a man of faith. Many times his faith in the Lord is referred to in his writings. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of humility. That is something that is very highly prized, and I wish we had more of that today. He was a man of his word. He did what he said he was going to do. And so James Madison was a true hero of liberty, a wise man. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. And so James Madison, I want to leave with this quotation. He said, a watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. We might build a big kingdom here, but we should not neglect that our names are written there. Jesus Christ said it like this in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church information, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.